our friends and radio listeners, as once again the R.G. Hardy broadcast comes your way proclaiming, yes, souls are crying and men are dying. We need you to help us to win the lost. And we're so happy that you took the time to tune into the broadcast today, and we hope that you will stay with us as we prepare now to join the servant of the Lord, Brother Hardy, as he preaches a wonderful message entitled, God Became Man. Truly, this is a message that will warm your heart and endear you to our Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ as we begin to understand the great sacrifice he made that he might know us. And we want you to stay tuned as there will be some very special announcements at the end of the broadcast. Let's join Brother Hardy now for God Became Man.
They all dipped together in their dishes, and they drank from that one cup. He blessed that cup and passed it. I want to know who drinks from my cup, dips in my dish. And if you have a lot of friends at the table like Jesus had all of his disciples, then if the host would dip in the dish and give it to one, he has honored him above all, the honored guest. And that's why Jesus, troubling his spirit, said, one of you shall betray me. He that eateth bread with me lifted up his heel against me. And Peter reached back and hollered to John, that disciple whom the Lord loves, it said in John. He loved them all, but there was a deeper loveship because John loved better, laying right on his bosom. They didn't sit at the table like we do. They had like divans and they laid back. And Jesus was there and John laid back with his head on his bosom. Read it. And Peter reached over and touched him, and John looked over and said, ask him who it is. He's going to betray him. John, whom that disciple whom the Lord loved, said, Lord, who is it? He said, who I give this sop to. How many say amen? And that was the expression of the honored guest. And Jesus dipped in the bowl and wet the sop and handed to Judas Iscariot. That was his last try to change Judas's mind.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Because Judas understood it. We don't understand it in the English. You see, you can't try to bring them up to our day. You've got to let the Holy Ghost transport you back to that day. You've got to sit at the Lord's table and understand the customs and understand what it meant for him to give the sop. Brother, if Judas could have been reached, that should have been the one that broke his heart, that God was honoring him, the Lord was honoring him with that sop. But instead he rejected it, and it said when he took that sop, immediately Satan entered into him. And then the Lord knew it, said, what you do, do quickly. And he went out to betray him, and the disciples thought he sent him out to get some bread or something for the Passover.
Yes.
See, Jesus didn't eat the Passover. He was the Passover. He said, what did he eat? He ate the meal of the feast before the Passover. The Passover was killed at between 1 and 3 the next day.
Yes.
You see. And this was the day, the preparation before the Passover, not the weekly Sabbath. There was two Sabbath days that week.
Yes,
but the one before was the high Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath. And he asked, ate the feast before the Passover. They ate the Passover the next day after they killed it. You find that in the 13th chapter of John. And he ate that feast. He said, I want to suffer with you. And he had let Judas get out. And then he instituted the Last Supper, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, the covenant of the new covenant. And this takes the place of the Passover to you and I, the children of God. Christ is our Passover. In the 13th chapter, he dismissed Judas. He washed their feet. And then he preached the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapter to them, to his own. Because he got rid of the one traitor.
Yes.
And then he went over the book, the Kidron Valley. to Gethsemane, and there he agonized. And when his agony was finished, Judas brought the high priest and all of his enemies and betrayed him. About midnight, and contrary to all Bible order, they had a trial at night, and it's not supposed to be. Everything about the trial of Jesus was illegal. They'd have threw it out of the Supreme Court.
That's right. And
after they had their trial and found him guilty and determined to crucify him, they took him to Pilate. And finally, after all the dissuasion of Pilate beating him and putting the crown of thorns on, right before 9 o'clock in the morning, he sent him out with his cross to be crucified. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour, they put him on the cross, the time of the first burnt offering. At the sixth hour, high noon, it became as night, dark on the face of the earth. Even the sun veiled its head when it was supposed to be in its zenith. The ninth hour, 3 o'clock, the time of the second burnt offering, Jesus releases his spirit. Within the hour, 4 hours, he hung on the cross, 7 hours. At 4 o'clock, they took him down, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Had to hurry quickly to take him to the garden tomb, because at 6 o'clock started the Sabbath for the Passover. And at 6 o'clock they put him in the ground. And as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, 72 hours later at 6 p.m. Saturday evening, which is the Jewish first day of the week, he burst that tomb wide open. Hallelujah! And he came out. So that sunrise stuff don't mean nothing. That's paganism from the God soul. He'd already been raised 12 hours. How many say amen? See, the Jewish day doesn't start like we call sunrise. Even our day doesn't start at sunrise. It starts at midnight. Amen. Your clock changes. You know, 1 second after midnight, you're in the next day. When it gets 1 second after midnight tonight, we're going to be in the Monday. Yeah. At 6 o'clock, we're going to have 6 days in, 6 hours in. Yeah. But the Jewish day started 6 p.m. That's why Jesus said there's 12 hours in a day and 12 hours in a night. And if you go to the Holy Land now and you live in a Jewish hotel, Friday at 6 o'clock you come in, you're going to get a cold cut meal. Because they don't work Friday at 6, that's their Shabbat, till Saturday at 6 p.m., that's their first day of the week. How many's out there? So I kind of ran from his birth, a little bit of his life, to his death and his resurrection. How many say amen? So the babe of Bethlehem can't help me. And the man of Galilee can't help me. He was only sent to the Jews. And the lowly Nazarene can't help me. And a dead Christ can't help me. But a risen Lord is the one that can help me. And he lives and he lives. And like he appeared to John on the rocky Isle of Patmos, saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last and the beginning and the end, and he that was dead. But look at me, behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I got the keys to death and to hell and the grave. Amen and say amen. And I'll ever live to make intercessions, and I can save you to the nth degree, to the utmost, to the absolute, because I ever live to make an intercession for you. I am your go-between. I am the servant of man of God forever. And even after I've been resurrected and with the Lord a million years, if I would happen to do something that displeased the Father, I can still go to my high priest Jesus, because he ever liveth to make intercessions. You see what I'm talking about. It's possible good friends have disputes. Because when you get resurrected, you still have your same right of choice. Even now that I'm saved, I can choose not to obey the Lord, but I'm not a dummy.
Amen. That's true.
And I've already learned the folly of not obeying the Lord. I can choose not to obey the Lord, but I don't want to suffer the consequence. That's where you get in trouble. Child of God refuses to obey the Lord the first time, then the devil's got you, and then you can't obey the Lord. In exercising your freedom, you lose it. Revert back to what? A rebel, a sinner, and a slave. Satan rules the slaves. Jesus has fellowships with the sons. Hallelujah. I hope that the Lord got across a little bit how much Jesus loves you, how much God cares. Don't ever let the devil come tell you God don't care. Look in the mirror and say, God cares. If he came like me, can I believe it?
Amen.
And he's going to ever be like me, can I believe it? Still got that same flesh and bone body. He said to Thomas, put your hand in there and say, see, a spirit, a ghost don't have flesh and bone like I have. He's got a flesh and bone body.
Praise the Lord, saints. I trust that you have been blessed and spiritually inspired by this wonderful message by God's servant, Brother Hardy. God became man. Truly, how great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. I believe this message has really caused you to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever, as you realize that he laid aside his deity, his equality with God, and took upon himself the form and fashion of a man, and was even found in the form of a servant, that he may become to us an able and faithful and merciful high priest. The only mediator between God and man is the man, Christ Jesus. This wonderful message is available to you on both CD and cassette. And in fact, we want to offer you something very special today. When you order God Became Man, we will also include the bonus message, The Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory. We will join Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians as he tells us the wonderful, wonderful blessing that is ours because Jesus Christ laid aside his properties of deity and took upon himself the form of an humble servant, even the form of humanity, that he might know us. We want to send both of these messages to you, God Became Man and The Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory. Please request the God Became Man series and address your check or money order to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. And send a love gift of $10 if you want the audio cassette or $15 if you want the CDs. Write us today and be sure to tell us how much the radio ministry is blessing your life, because we want to know that you're being blessed by the Word of God.
When the lost had it.